Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you. And a warm welcome to the afternoon show. I'm Bill Arnold, and today we're going to have an extended version of the Monday afternoon mix with Pastor David Miles, Wyatt M. Looking forward to this. Today we're going to talk about ways to provide encouragement to people and the power of encouragement, because we all need it and we all love getting it, and there's so many different ways in which we can encourage. Maybe it's just a spoken word. Maybe it's writing a text or an email, or a handwritten note. Those usually are kept forever. Maybe it's helping somebody. Maybe there's something you can do. Maybe it's giving of yourself or your resources. Maybe it's just your presence, where you practice the power of presence because someone's overwhelmed, and you physically being in the room with them is going to make all the difference. Sometimes you just need an arm around you. When David Miles came in, he gave me the big, nice hug. I haven't seen him in a while. And it was one of those things I thought, that is a sweet man. There's that encouragement that you can give people through hospitality, and certainly let people know you're praying for them. Those are all just simple ways that you can use the power of encouragement in the lives of people that you know and care about and love. That's our topic today. Of course, you can chime in at any time you like. Text a comment or question over to 877-933-2484. My Monday afternoon mix is Pastor David Miles and Wyatt M. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. And so sweet to give you a hug, my friend.
Yeah, thank you.
And so good to see you. And, you know, we were saying before we jumped on that sometimes we can, you know, complicate things on what it means, like even just to encourage people. And, man, I'm going to try not even get emotional on this, but I guess one reason why giving you a hug is so much and seeing you is, you know, last year when I had my health issues with, you know, the surgeries and stuff like that, you walked into my hospital room and showed up. And just the whole, the ministry of presence.
That's all I had, David.
Just, well, you had. No,
but I mean, really, but thank you for that. But I just wanted to show up. That was all. I didn't know if I had words. I certainly could pray with you, but I just wanted to be there.
Well, it was like profound, and like really, I feel emotional about it. It means so much, and I guess like because we get to, you were being Jesus. Jesus just didn't talk, and God didn't just talk from heaven, you know, but he showed up. And I guess, you know, on that note, what's interesting was, we have some family friends, and someone asked my wife this weekend about this particular couple, and she mentioned how they happened to be in town when we were in seminary, and they were some of the first people that showed up to see DJ, our first son born. And again, they just showed up. And so something about the power of showing up, and sometimes our presence, like you were saying in the intro, sometimes our presence speaks a stronger gospel than we do. If we're worried about what words do I need to say, sometimes just being there and showing up.
Yeah, you're a sweet man, David Miles. I appreciate those kind words. And you're not in studio, so you can't see it, but he has a tear coming down his cheek, and it's just so sweet. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that. I remember that day. It was a summer day, and I pulled up to the hospital, and the very first spot in front of the hospital door was open. And I thought, this is too good to be true. And I remember going in on this beautiful summer day thinking, David's in a very tough place. I felt horribly sorry for you. And yet I felt so grateful I could be there with you. So thank you for that. I'm curious as to how you uplift others. What is your strategy? What do you do? What do you say? Are you inclined to use words, to send a note, a text, a card? I'm just curious, how do you encourage others, and what do you say? I'm just would love to hear from you. 877 833-2484. I know there's effective ways that you inspire and uplift others, and we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, and there's no right or wrong way, right?
Like
no, you
said, right.
Bill, when you showed up to David's hospital that day, you didn't know if you had words, but all you needed to do was just show your presence. There's the saying, a picture's worth a thousand words, right? Well, I think sometimes a smile can be said the same way, right? Or just a warm hug, like you said, just an embrace to let somebody know that you care about them. So there's no right or wrong way to let somebody know you're thinking about them or that you love them. But the important thing is that you take the time to do it.
Yeah. A friend of mine says, suit up and shut up.
I like it.
I do too. Sometimes you don't need to say anything. Just suit up and show up.
Yeah.
And shut up.
And we don't know the things that are going on in people's lives. So sometimes that smile, sometimes that word, sometimes as simple as like, how is your day?
It
means a lot. And again, we do it to show the love of Christ as people who have been recipients of such ridiculous and amazing grace again and again and again and again. Again, we do it out of the overflow of what God's done for us. The other day I stopped at a Starbucks and I was doing some work and was picking up something for someone. And I was just in line and I was talking with the person who was helping me and wasn't thinking anything of it and just being sweet. And the person just said, you know what? Thank you. And you know, they're like, I went to pay. And they're like, nah, that's okay. And I'm like, but they're like, no. And so like, I paid it forward to somebody else, you know, but that person, it was just, again, we're not doing it to get something. We've already gotten so much from Jesus. We just get to pass it on. And sometimes people are so overwhelmed that they're like, I want to bless you back.
I've heard that it's as important to what you say as what you don't say. And if we can be aware not to show up and listen autobiographically, you know, just address the person in their time of need and try not to make it about ourselves.
Yes.
But just to say, I'm just here for you. Yeah. Do you want me to do anything? I'll take out the trash for you. You know, I'll do anything. I'm just here. I can talk. I can listen. I can do whatever.
Well, as Wyatt was saying up earlier, like, you know, sometimes we don't know what to do. And like in one of the books that is actually, you know, in God's, you know, eternal word, is the beauty of three friends who showed up for Job, and actually the power of their witness was in not saying anything.
Yeah.
And it's when they began to talk.
Okay. Right.
And here's one of the things, Bill, that both of you guys said that's key for us to listen to. Sometimes we start talking out of our own inadequacy, our own struggle with a particular situation that we're wrestling with, and so sometimes trying to navigate our own discomfort with it, we can start to say things that aren't necessarily necessary. So sometimes just sitting in it, and then like another way we can grow in our faith is actually in what we don't say, and in that period of not saying something, saying, Holy Spirit, if you do want me to say something, what is it that you want me to say? So even in that moment of silence that we press into Jesus and we press into the Holy Spirit, he grows our relationship with him to help us use wisdom in ministering to others. And sometimes the best words are no words.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that because Proverbs talks about that a little bit, about how the fool will open his mouth and speak and everybody knows he's a fool, but the wise man stays silent. Sometimes people don't need to hear you say, I know what you're going through. Because like Bill said, then it makes it about yourself. They just want your presence there. Yeah. They just want you to sit there with them and let them know that you're in their corner. You got them. You're behind them.
I do have that little self-awareness, David, because you were nice enough to mention that I did come visit you in the hospital. And I could have walked in and I could have said, hey, David, well, I remember when I was in the hospital, you know. The nurses weren't as friendly as they are for you. But all of a sudden, you know, I'm making it about me, which is crazy. But I'm trying to identify with you. I'm trying to show you I'm in the same space. But the truth is, no, I'm here just to see you.
And as you say that, these are things that we've learned along the way, you know. And I think that one of the most grace-filled statements, you know, Scripture's full of lots of grace-filled statements. But I think of, like, when it talks to 2 Peter chapter 1, and after going through all these wonderful things about making effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, brotherly affection with love. Then verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing. Okay. And I bring that up because sometimes a person might be feeling like, wow, you know, I'm that person who did go to the hospital room and I made it all about myself, or I did stick my foot in my mouth. But this beautiful passage says, if these things are yours and are increasing, none of us arrive.
Yeah.
You know, so we're often continually growing. So I want it to be, because sometimes we can be fearful to do anything because we're afraid, like, what if I do this wrong? You know, or I've done it wrong in the past. And so if that's you today and you're feeling that, like, been there, done that, stuck my foot and my hip joint in my mouth plenty of times. But as we continue to grow and press into him, and most importantly, showing up.
Well, and I'm going to bring up this comment we got from a listener, because that talks exactly what you said. This listener chimed in and said, I'm learning just being there and he will use me. That's exactly what you're saying, David. We don't have to have it figured out and know what we're going to say or be 100% confident in this. It might be a little scary. It may be something we have to grow into, but by just being there, God will use us. Mm-hmm. We just got to trust and believe that he will and can do that.
Do you want to hear one of the most profoundly impactful things that people have said that I've said to them? And it's yeah. This, like in really hard situations where I've looked at a person and just said, you know what? This sucks. Mm. And they like, look, no, like, okay, this happened and someone needed two extra wings for their angels.
Ooh, no.
But any of that stuff, sometimes looking at a situation and just saying like, this really just stinks. And a person's like, oh yeah. And I'm like, it really stinks. And they're like, thank you. I've had people just start crying because they're expecting for us to pretty up some things. So sometimes not knowing what to say, and sometimes saying the humility, say like, you know, Bill, I don't even know what to say. I just want to let you know I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's,
you know, I can't fix this, but I care about you.
It's so sweet.
And can you be comfortable with someone else's uncomfortableness? Sometimes we have a hard time doing that. You know, I think of one of the shorter verses in Scripture, John 11:35, Jesus wept.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the shortest, by the way. It's one of the shorter ones. But I thought, Jesus knowing what he was going to do, minutes later, he stepped into his emotional pain and Mary and Martha's emotional pain. And it said Jesus wept.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just met them where they were at. I mean, what he was going to do minutes later was amazing.
Right.
Yeah. He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But for the moment, he just stepped into their pain.
And was present.
And was present, yeah.
In that moment.
I love that passage.
Because he knew that's what they needed.
And it's easy to memorize.
Yeah.
Come on, it is. It's easy to memorize.
You're not wrong.
It took me a couple weeks, but I got it down.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
That's good.
Don't laugh at me. Don't laugh at me. I worked on it.
Well, you know, closing out, doing homegoing services and funerals, used to incorporate in my notes, and I would tell people, hey, take out your phone for a moment. And people are like, well, that's interesting. I'm like, yep, asking you at the end of a homegoing service. I said, now open up your calendar, you know, and in 3 weeks, a month, 3 months, 6 months, 11 months, put on your calendar a moment just to call that person. Because today, everyone's here. And like, people feel that. Mm-hmm. And very quickly, everyone's gone. And, you know, asking people, like, how are you doing? How are you really doing? Like, when I talk with widows and widowers, like, I don't just, like, say, how are you doing? I'll do that. But I'll also say, like, you know, if I don't know them, what was their name? Hey, what was their eye color? Did they have thick or thin hair? Was it curly? Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of things that you miss about them, but what is there something that you miss about them? And letting people talk. And I've had people say, well, you know, PDM, if I do that, you know, I might make them remember the person. And I have said to a congregation, they're not forgetting them.
No.
But what if I make them cry? And you know what? Sometimes tears are part of the healing as well. Man. You know, but it goes back to what both of you were saying. Sometimes we don't want to ask those questions because we then also feel uncomfortable with the person in front of us crying.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's what Scripture says. Sometimes I'm actually just crying with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good. How do you uplift others? How do you encourage someone? If you would be willing to tell us how you do that, we'd love to hear it. How you uplift others. ways that you inspire and help others around you. 877-933-2484. You're listening to the Monday Afternoon Mix extended version with Pastor David Miles and Wyatt. We'll be right back.
I'm Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen. I love a good story, don't you? I love a good love story, a good mystery, a good travel log. I love a good turnaround story or a story that begins once upon a time and ends with happily ever after. So what's your story? Specifically, your Jesus story. What difference does Jesus make in your life? Could you tell it as a love story or a rescue story? However you tell it, trust me, we want to hear it. We love a good story. Connecting faith to life, Faith Radio.
Welcome to our show today. I hope you've had a great weekend. I love Mondays. I get a chance to spend some time today with Pastor David Miles and Wyatt M. for our extended version of our Monday Afternoon Mix. So I'm awfully glad we can be doing this. We're talking about the ways in which we can encourage one another because we all need it. And you'll be surprised how profound a word of encouragement, a note of encouragement, a text, an email, a handwritten note. Boy, you get one of those and those go in a shoebox for the rest of your life.
It's funny you say that because I have a couple of shoeboxes with letters in them from the past 10 years, whether it's a family member or a friend. So that like literally hits me so close to home, Bill, because it's so true in my life.
Yeah, that is such a great point, and I love that. And we've got a couple other comments that have come in. Why would you share those?
Yeah, this one coming in saying, I love to uplift people by asking them odd questions and then asking them to pray for them specifically right at that moment because people are so appreciative of extra prayer. And I love that because it's so true. It might be a little uncomfortable at first, but knowing somebody's going to pray for you right then and there and going to take the time to actually lift up your request to God, I think that makes a huge difference. It's easy to say, yeah, I'll add it to my prayer list, but to do it right then and there with him. I mean, I've had people cry when I've seen them have this happen to them. That's just so, so touching.
It's a great little story. That this is an older story, but it always touches me every time I read it. And it was author Leo Biscaglia. He was once asked to judge a contest. And the purpose of the contest was to find the most caring child. And the winner was a 4-year-old boy, and his next-door neighbor was an elderly gentleman who had recently lost his wife. And upon seeing the man cry, the little boy went into this gentleman's yard, climbed into his lap, and just sat there. So when his mother asked him what he had said to the neighbor, the little boy said, "Nothing. I just helped him cry."
Wow.
That's sweet.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
So John Powell wrote this thing called The Five Levels of Communication, and we've shared it here before. But speaking of what you're saying, to kind of give like a picture for people, the five levels are cliche, fact, opinion, feeling, transparency. Cliche, fact, opinion, feeling, transparency. And so one way of illustrating it, and this is not what happened in my life, so I have to preface that, would be me and you, Bill, talking and saying, hey, Bill, how are you doing? Like, how's the weather? And you're like, hey, you know, it's fine. It's like 58 degrees and there's some dark clouds out there. Oh, those dark clouds over there, Bill, those are really scary. Those are like tornado clouds. And you're like, nah, those will kind of pass by. Now, what did we engage in? Cliche, how's the weather? Fact, 58 degrees, dark cloud weathers. Opinion, I think those are tornado clouds. You think they'll pass by. Feeling is, Bill, when I see clouds like that, I get afraid. Transparency is, Bill, when I was younger, a tornado hit my home and it took the lives of my loved ones.
Wow.
And if that were ever to happen again, I don't know what I would do. And you see the difference between cliche down to transparency. And there's a desire within us to really be at a place of feeling and transparency. But we spend a lot of times at levels 1, 2, and 3. And like what you did with the little boy story, like he, you know, he didn't come over and get into like a cliche or the fact, hey, buddy, you're crying. Or my opinion is, why are you crying? You know, but like what he told his mom, I got up and I sat with him and his feelings. And even for that older man being transparent to show his feelings, and he just sat with him. You know, and so the power of those things, you know, can be profound. Now, getting to that sometimes requires going through our kind of cliche-ish thing into, because it's a part of communication, how you doing, fact, opinion, but getting to a place where we can make a space that allows people to just be and not fix it. And sometimes when we just sit with a person in their feelings and even sit there more in their being transparent, and like you said earlier, Bill, not saying, yeah, that happened to me too.
Right.
That helps.
Mm-hmm. How do you uplift others? This is the Monday Afternoon Mix with Pastor David Miles and Wyatt, and we're wondering what you do. How do you encourage people? And what do you do to lift them up? Wyatt, I think we've got a couple more things on the text line.
We've actually had a couple people say this one now. They like to bring food to other people or to bring snacks. And I love that because food always brings people together and allows them to feel safe and comfortable, right? And I mean, I'll just use this as a quick example. Me and my wife have had some stuff recently with some medical issues. I'm not going to go into the details. And Bill, you were somebody that offered to bring us food. There was more than just you. There was other people that did it as well. And you have no idea how much that meant to us and how much that touched our heart. Just knowing that there are people that would be willing to drive over, take time out of their day to come over and do something like that for us.
Well, I would have sent someone from my staff, right?
Good enough. It still works, Bill.
I said to Wyatt, don't think I'm going to cook for you because I can't. I really can't cook. What I want to do is tell me your favorite restaurant and the meals you'd like from that restaurant. Mm-hmm. I'll go pick it up and drive it to your house. Yeah. I thought that would have been safe. And Wyatt goes, no, I bet you're a pretty good cook. That's awfully nice of you, Wyatt.
The jury's out on that one still. The
jury is out.
But anyways, seriously, food brings people together. I mean, sure, you both would agree with that.
Yeah, I can make a 7-course meal using only my toaster.
It's impressive.
Yeah, thank you. All right, let's look at some of the other texts that have come in.
Yeah, this one's good from Mike. He says, no fancy words, just acknowledging their circumstance is not good, which is something we've talked about. Just being willing to sit there and listen. We don't have to try and put ourselves in their situation. We just need to let them know that we're there and we support them. Do either of you experience that if somebody will try and use fancy words or try to tell you their circumstance or start overcomplicating it? I mean, we talked about this a little bit, David. We don't need to overcomplicate it. Just be there. It's so simple.
Yeah. I love Mike's word of actually saying fancy words because, you know, sometimes with people and even sometimes with God, we think we have to use fancy words like that's going to be, you know, impressive. But sometimes just being ourselves and authentic and even vulnerable.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a common theme with a lot of these that we're getting as well, as Becky is chiming in as well, saying she likes to listen. If it's people particularly, let's say with long illnesses, she says that she likes to call regularly and ask how they are doing and listen. It's a pretty common theme, right? We're here to listen and just be present. Like the story of Jesus when he wept with them. Just meet them where they're at. Mm-hmm. I think that's so inspiring.
One mouth, 2 ears.
Yeah.
That's good.
Amen.
And if you can ever find an opportunity to affirm in them, I always love going to scripture of Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When I can affirm those qualities in a person, regardless of what they're going through, is to say, you're just showing amazing patience right now and faithfulness. I just admire that. That's usually a comment that usually always feels fairly affirming.
Mm-hmm. It's probably not one you hear often too, right? So when somebody says that to you, it actually means a lot, right?
Yeah.
You know, you hear the I'm so sorry and the ones that you hear from hundreds of people, but it is those comments that really touch you and really let you know that that person is there and cares, which is why I like the example too, David, of when you lose a loved one to ask them what they remember about them. Might be scary, but like you said, they don't forget that person. They want to talk about them. It sometimes helps with the healing process.
Yeah, and you talk about a conversation that can go zero to really close and, you know, intimate for that person in really just positive ways. You know, when Tammy and I lived in Ohio, I was standing in a line of a post office and we were waiting. And I just started chatting with the person and the person just had shared a story of being a grandparent and saying, like, I used to laugh at my coworkers, but it's really cool. And I feel like I'm in this place. I'm like, that's awesome. And they said, yeah, I lost my husband And so I just started asking questions, and I asked those questions, and this person, they just teared up. And it's not because we're cool, okay? It's actually, the most important thing is actually centering the other person, you know, and letting it. And this person just was like, thank you. Like, no one asks those types of questions. So get good at asking questions. And here's the cool thing. Like, well, if asking questions, like, doesn't that mean I don't know something? Here, Jesus knew everything.
Yeah.
Okay?
Bingo. Yeah.
He knew everything. And yet, 339 times in the Gospels, Jesus asked questions.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Bartimaeus, blind beggar, what would you like me to do for you? I want to see. Pretty clear. It's good to ask questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to hurt anyone's feelings.
Because here's the cool thing, Bill, because sometimes we may assume or think that it's something, but by asking questions, you actually get to learn from the person what it might really be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one other poignant statement someone said is, you don't get the person that you want in front. You get the person who they are in front of you.
No.
You know, so meeting that person where they are at, not necessarily where you think they should be.
Mm-hmm. Diane's got a very good comment. Would you read that, Wyatt?
Love this one, too, because she says, I like to put a sticky note on an encouraging sympathy card, pray each time I spot it on my desk, then send it about 4 weeks post-funeral. I acknowledge that it may feel like the rest of the world has moved on. I let them know I'm keeping them on my prayer list for this unwelcoming season. Sometimes that little touch of just waiting after the storm has kind of gone away and then hitting, that is so, so good.
Yeah. Everyone wants Diane as their friend.
Right?
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. What about this one? Let's see. Hey there. On Jackie Robinson Day, I think that acts of courage and boldness can be uplifting to people. When we see one person being brave, it encourages us to be brave as well. Beautiful.
Yeah. It's true, too. It's easy. When somebody else does it, you don't feel like you're alone.
Yeah.
Feel like you can do it as well.
Mm-hmm. How do you uplift others? We're just so curious. We're getting some really great comments. So thank you for sending in your thoughts and your encouraging words, because they're helping all of us. So,
hey, Bill, what do you think about this? This would actually be an interesting thing to practice going forward, because, you know, there are, what, 8.4 billion texts that are sent a year, or 8.4 trillion texts, which are 23 billion a day.
Wow.
Okay? So, again, we're not asking you to change all your texting, but this is just, like, one way, because we do it. But just think, like, because we're heading into that interesting, you know, season of just election stuff. And, like, people may be inclined to talk about it, but what a way to turn the conversation and say, like, hey, what's the way that you actually text and encourage people?
Yeah.
And, you know, and here's the thing. As Stephen Covey said, we have our circle of concern and our circle of influence. And we need to be concerned and pray about those other things. But maybe in some of these meetings when they start, or conversations, when they start to go a certain direction, just say, hey, what are some of the best ways that you text people? Mm. Hey, can we do this? And how about in a couple of days, let's just pray about this and touch base and see what God has done. And you can literally change the atmosphere of a conversation and even change the trajectory to help people that way.
Thank you, David Miles. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. That's our topic today. And how do you uplift someone? How do you build them up? How do you encourage someone? Let me know. We want to hear. 877-933-2484. We'll be right back.
It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold. Prime time, drive time, let's get it started. Jump in your car, what's for dinner? It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold.
We're enjoying a little extended version of the Monday Afternoon Mix with Pastor David Miles and Wyatt M. We're talking today about encouraging. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. We find it to be very important to be reaching out and helping people in as many ways as possible. At the top of the hour, we talked about you can give words of encouragement to somebody. You can write them a note. You can help them with an errand or a chore. You can give in some capacity or just be present. Maybe they need a hug. Maybe they could use some hospitality. And maybe you just need to let them know you are praying for them. I do something, I brought this up a couple times over the years, but I try to do something I call two out of the blue every month, where I try to reach out to two people in my life, and my message will come to them completely out of the blue. they didn't see it coming. Mm-hmm. Usually the response is always, oh my, that was just made my day kind of thing. It's just so simple. But I reached out to a guest, Ace Collins, who I usually have around Christmas time. I did that today, as a matter of fact. And I said, Ace, I know you've been having a hard couple of months because he just lost his wife in December. And I said, I just, you know, assume that these days and months have been hard, and I prayed for you. And today I just wanted to let you know I was thinking about you. And he instantly returned my email and said, they have been difficult, but I keep going. Thank you so much for asking and your assurance of prayer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just really sweet.
And you brightened his day because you took a couple minutes to say, I'm going to reach out to Ace.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it's one of my two out of the blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, my wife Haley is tremendous at that too, is saying, God is putting this person on my heart to reach out to them.
Yeah.
May not know why.
Yep.
You know, in this case, Bill, you know somebody's going through something, but let's say you don't, but you feel this sense or this urge that the Holy Spirit is telling you to communicate with somebody. And I can't tell you how many times my wife has done that and received a text back saying, this is just what I needed to hear. And the person starts going into detail about something that's happened in their life. And you just cannot believe the doors that God will open if you just listen to that call from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And I mean, like, one of the fun things about these is God will lay on your heart things or even have you ask questions. And with the believer, though, they'll see the connection. And sometimes when you're having conversations with unbelievers, they'll be like, how did you read my mail? Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the statements that I would respond with people is I'm like, look, you don't know me from Adam, Bill, but God brought me here to let you know that there's a God who loves you and sent his only son to die for you, and that you're a once in eternity creation that he deeply cares about. And the receptivity to that mm-hmm. is so rich, because they are trying to figure out, like, how did you know that? And then when you point them to a Jesus who cares, it can be, you know, profoundly encouraging. And sometimes I've had people say, you know what, I've thought about going back to church, or I've been having these questions. And so we never know exactly where it's going to go. God does. And I think what's neat about it is that God almost opens the door and invites us into what he's doing, mm-hmm. you know, and even for us and for the other person.
I always say there's nothing inconsequential in God's economy.
Yeah.
Nothing inconsequential.
Yeah.
Every little moment, every little time you reach out to somebody in faith or in inspiration or feeling nudged by the Holy Spirit, like Haley, will send a note to somebody or reach mm-hmm. out to someone. It's like, it was the perfect thing that day.
Yeah.
What that person needed.
Everything has a purpose.
I agree.
Every single day.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of other great comments. Wyatt, I'm going to let you do the reading.
Yeah. Nancy saying, I set a daily reminder on my phone to send an encouraging Bible verse or meme to people I know who are experiencing a difficult time. I don't always get it done, but I do a few times per week. And I especially try to remember those with long-term illnesses and those who have lost a loved one. And to me, that, again, goes back to the point of saying, okay, I'm going to take some time. The storm has passed. You know, everybody is going to reach out to you while you're going through the difficult time. But what about a month down the road? What about a couple months down the road? And being able to say, hey, I still remember how hard this is for you, and I'm still there for you, and I want you to know that I love you and am going to be behind you. So that's a great comment. And then this one coming in saying, I try to mention something specific about the person that has made a difference in my life. I really like that one too.
I do too.
That's yeah.
powerful.
Yeah. Make it personal.
Yeah. And even when she tries to express that,
yeah.
she often will tear up and can't even speak, which is even sweeter.
Yeah.
I mean, you did that at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
It was very sweet, David.
But it's so real.
No, it was very authentic.
It almost takes us to this place of connection, or it takes us to this place of acknowledging something that God has put into that person, and even acknowledging that it has been hard, like for your friend, and saying like, I'm praying for you, and see that you're going through those things is super, super helpful. You know, guys, we have this thing coming up next month. And you know, earlier this year, it was reported that 77% of Americans had felt loneliness at some time. And, you know, according to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, May is actual Mental Health Awareness Month. And, you know, not for you, now I'm not bringing up to say like you have to be a psychologist and praise God for them and counselors, but saying like this is a time of year where that'll be mentioned. And so just as a way just to text people that you do know and just saying, hey, I'm praying for this. I happen to hear that this is a time of year. I'm not saying there's something like wrong, but I want to let you know that I care, you know. And so like using stuff that's already has some sort of knownness about it and using that to point them to the Prince of Peace,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, David, that you, we can extrapolate from Christmas or Easter, that season where we have those built-in opportunities. So now we have, what, Mental Health Awareness Month coming up? Mm-hmm. Don't we all know somebody who might be under incredible stress, anxiety, and would love to have someone call them, reach out to them, and say, hey, I just called to say hi.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
And not feel like you have to fix it.
Yeah.
Sometimes just because there is at times shame and guilt and fear, you know, and like this is an area that I talk on and work with schools and organizations and even share my own story and things like that, precisely to bring it out of the shadows in that way. So sometimes just acknowledging that to a person that, hey, I'm thinking about you, you know, I'm praying for you, I care about you, those can just be cups of cold water in a Sahara Desert.
Mm-hmm. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So that's an important element of our Christian faith, that we are present. And just because we're going to build somebody up, that doesn't take anything away from us. Sometimes we think, well, I could use some encouragement today, right? But whether you need it or not, go ahead and do it anyway.
Yeah.
For somebody else.
Because somebody else needs it,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes.
So.
Yes.
You know.
Well, I've heard the illustration of someone saying, you know, when you're spraying water on someone, like in a good way, like when you're spraying the hose, you can't help but get wet yourself. And so sometimes when you are actually feeling down, sometimes one of the best things for you actually is to encourage another person, you know, and then all of a sudden you find yourself and that person encouraged. And it's not to deny the other things or the other reality, but, you know, serving other people, It is a powerful thing in encouraging other people, and it can bring to mind things that sometimes we forget, you know.
Mm-hmm. David, now your life as a pastor, I know you've had many opportunities where people show up at church and maybe they just need a hug. They just need someone to say, I'm here, present in the flesh.
That's a really huge thing, and I think when we look at scripture, the Bible would talk about being Jesus Emmanuel, you know, God with us. And actually, you know, when it talked about Jesus' coming being prophesied in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, it would actually even talk about how God would gather his people like a mother does a child. And so just like this very, very rich language. And so the power of a hug, you know, the power of a godly hug is profound. And I'll tell you one thing, for people, period, I know for some of the dear, you know, ladies in my life and people who are like moms, I remember one gal, you know, just gave her a hug and was like, I am praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
And she said one of the most interesting things. She says, I can't tell you how much that means, because to have another guy, because I miss my husband. And this was said in all purity of heart. But she said, to have another man just actually give me a hug, you know, was just such a healing thing, you know, and having someone taller, larger, or just that. Yeah. And she said, you know, even cologne, I mean, she's like, I love perfume, but there was something just different about that. And that's the way as, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, like when my mom passed.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Some of the people who were like church mothers and my mom's good friends, them just giving me a hug, you know, my wife, Tammy, you want to hear one of the most profound things was in my mother's home going, and I'm sitting there with Tammy, and there's this song called Homeland that talks about our homeland being with Jesus. And I remember Jaden was sitting between me and Tammy, and as tears were going down my face, here was my little son just rubbing both me and Tammy's back. And just how powerful, how utterly powerful that moment of having him. So like giving people a hug, you know, looking in their eyes to the point that you can see their eye color, not looking past them, but really looking at them and letting them be seen. And so like, it's been an interesting thing. And same thing with guys. I mean, like I was at a procurement thing here the other day for the government, because I do work with government as well. And I was talking to this guy who had been a veteran, and he just started sharing his story. And we got done, and I shook his hand, and I gave him a hug. And then I gave him a bigger hug, and dude just like pulled back, and he's like, thank you. I just got a text from him today.
Well, very good. Very interesting, powerful. David Miles, Wyatt M., this is the extended version of the Monday Afternoon Mix, and we're talking about how you can encourage someone. Let us know how you would do it. 877-933-2484. Be right back.
If you'd like to know more about what it means to begin a relationship with Christ or to chat with someone about it, just text the word faith to 41224.
We're back today talking about encouragement and the different ways in which we can and should encourage one another. I always love the very godly, comforting words from Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 that says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I just think those are such powerfully comforting words. And whatever situation you might find yourself in today, if you need a word of encouragement, we hope that you're hearing it today, because we care about you and we want you to know that God will meet you in your time of need. And if you are fearing, you can just know that he'll be with you. If you are in need of strength, he will help you and he will uphold you with his righteous right hand. So that is incredible encouragement for me. Mm. Pastor David Miles, Wyatt M., they're with me on this amazing time of encouraging one another. I think we got a couple more texts that have come in. Wyatt, I'd love for you to share.
Yeah, another one from Kim saying that she also loves to bring food, some of her favorites, spaghetti. Who doesn't like spaghetti, right?
Yeah.
Homemade chicken pie, noodle soup, or chicken noodle soup. You know, just so many different ways you can do it. She says that she likes to text Susie Larson's devotional to anyone struggling on the day in the morning so that it's the first thing they read when they wake up.
Beautiful.
Love
it's a great
that.
Way to start your
yeah.
day, right?
Yeah, that yep. is.
Yeah. Also likes to text at the beginning of Carmen LaBurge's show as well. My mouse quit working on this side, so if you want to go to another one, you can, Bill.
My mouse isn't working on this side either.
All right, we may be. Oh, wait a minute. Looks like I
there
got
you go.
It back. So, yeah, this one coming in as well from Jeannie saying that she told a youngish Aldi checker she was doing a great job, you know, just at a grocery store. Just took some time to say, hey, you're doing a great job, and that she appreciated her kind attitude. And she just started weeping in her arms.
Yeah.
Just a simple message of, hey, you're doing a great job. You're seen.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
you. And just look what it turned into. So,
how about the power of the note when it comes to Joyce? Have you seen that one?
Uh-uh.
No, I'll read it.
I'll read it. Yeah.
I received the following note from our pastor approaching the first anniversary of my mom's home going. Mm-hmm. I know your mom's anniversary approaches, and that such is a bittersweet time for you. May God comfort and strengthen you, and may you rejoice that she's enjoying him. Mm. She said that amazing and thoughtful note has been in my Bible for 22 years.
Amen.
Wow.
Talk about encouragement and how much that sticks, the power of a handwritten note.
Yeah, and with so much stuff that we get today that's either bills, you know, or junk mail or advertisements, you know, like you said earlier, Bill, and like Wyatt, you said you have things that you, I have things that I've held to. And so like even the richness of a handwritten letter, you know, even if you write chicken scratch, I mean, like that'll be the sweetest chicken scratch that people will receive.
And Ann said, I sent a text saying, I am praying for you. And she's got all these really cute emojis. So those are cute, very cute. Sometimes I like to write out the prayer and send that as the text. Not to say I'm praying for you, but here's the prayer.
Yes.
And I just pray the prayer in a text, mm-hmm. and then I send it.
Because we're visual people when you think about it. So when I can see what somebody is saying and praying to me, again, it goes back to making something personal and being able to make it so that that person knows how much you love them and care for them. It's not just a passive, I'm thinking about you necessarily. It's something that is so touching and personal that you can't help but just know how much that person cares about you.
Mm-hmm. I wrote a note, and you guys have mentioned something really, both earlier, the one gal who shared about Susie and Carmen. But the other day, I wrote a note with a prayer to the person. It was asking the Lord to fashion beauty from ashes for my sister and your daughter of a hard situation that they were going through, and bless with new relationships for their whole family as they're about to make a move that they didn't want to make but is now before them. And may this be a season, Lord, of new beginnings, even new wine for new wineskin, and even bless the people from the difficult situation that the person had left. And they responded and they said, oh, this prayer is exactly the grace I needed tonight. Thank you, my brother in Christ. Thank you. Now, the thing I want to note about this is in the passage of talking about fashioning beauty from ashes, that's Isaiah 61, verse 3. Even new beginnings, but also new wine from new wineskins, that's Jesus talking. So why do I bring that up? The importance of tuning in to Faith Radio, the importance of getting into God's Word and letting God's Word get inside of you. So as you be, God begins to bring things to mind to write, yeah, go to your word and open it up. Or the ways that God wants to incorporate his word that doesn't return void in your text and in your language is powerful. So that's why we encourage you to tune in to Faith Radio. We encourage you to reach out to other people to tune in and have them listen to Susie and to Carmen and to Bill and others. Because we're not just sharing things, we're sharing the life-giving message of Jesus Christ that changes lives.
Thank you for that, David Miles. Wyatt, let's see, take one here. Diane's got a great comment. She says, I'm at the checkout, when stress is obvious, I'll say, I'm going to pray for you when I get into my car. Do you have something specific that needs prayer? And then I thank them for the honor of praying for them. Isn't that lovely?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it is an honor, right? And it's a privilege.
It is.
Kind of makes me think of the example that other people have used where they say when you go out to eat and you ask the waiter when they bring you your food, hey, I'm going to pray. Do you have any prayer requests? And you may get a silly look every once in a while or somebody won't take it serious, but oftentimes they do have something they need you to pray for. It's just such an easy way to let somebody know that you're there for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you hear a pastor do that sitting across from the table and the person says, yeah, actually, I start chemo on Monday.
Whoa. Yeah.
You're like, okay, definitely. But even if it's something lesser, it's still, here's the thing. Whatever thing a person is going through, that is their thing. And Dr. Steve Roy once said to us in seminary, there's no such thing as a minor surgery for the person having it. So whatever person going through, that is their thing, and entering in with them to minister to them mm-hmm. is their thing.
Our last one, Becky says, our family loves to take the Christmas cards we receive and divide them into piles. Then we send a letter to the people or family in each pile and tell them we'll be praying for them for a week. We invite them to reply with any specific requests. Each week, we send letters to a new group of people until the piles are gone. It's been amazing. This can be done any time of year.
Incredible. That's so incredible.
Yeah.
You know what I love about this, guys? As you're sharing things, and the people listening don't have the opportunity to see what I'm seeing, these two, they're lit up in their faces smiling, and they're radiating such joy. So it's amazing doing these things, what they can do in a room, in the lives of other people, and even in yourselves.
Yeah. Thank you to everybody that chimed in and shared this hour. Really great stuff.
It's been a blast. Thank you, David Miles. That's all the time we have for the Monday Afternoon Mix extended version. We're going to take a break. When we come back, my friend Vince Miller will be in studio. His book coming out is called Essential Elements, Forging Godly Men. I can hardly wait. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.